B-Pod Studios.
App. Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Tutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, my friend, Fred Tutcher. All right, Fred, look it. You're making your return to the airways after 7 weeks because you were getting a little too zooted. Not to make it all about me, but I got up on some rum raisin ice cream one time. It was crazy. You know, I woke up, girl, was really fat. Anyway, it's not important. This is about my friend, Fred. I was happy to hear that you went away. I'm glad you're coming back. And good for the station for hanging in there with you. Because you're good at what you do, which is tugging Chipperson, you're burying them. Anyway, I haven't seen you in a while, but you're a good friend, and I like you a lot, and I loved having you on my live show. I'm glad you're doing better, and a pep talk advice on the Chipper, believe me. You could have just contacted me, Nick. I would have done this for free. Well, cake for the Chipper's always... Damn it. Sorry. Cake for the Chipper's always nice, but for Fred Tutcher, I'll do him for nothing. I say that now as I'm doing this one on Cameo, so I'm basically a phony piece of garbage. But anyway, Rich, good luck, Good for you for hanging in with Fred. I really, I appreciate that. You're a good man. Fred, you're a good man. Just hang in there. Life sucks sometimes. But like one time, dude, I was out with this girl, right? And she brings over like two of her friends and we're all having sex. And like all of a sudden I get tired, right? I like three of them. And then the phone rings and two more are coming over. I'm like, this is too much, you know? So like, I know what you're saying for hard times. I've had quite a few. Anyway, hang in there, my friend. I'm glad you're back. You're a piece of garbage, but you're great on the radio. You're funny, and hang in there, pal.
Sports Hub, Tutcher and Rich. Nick Jamelli reaching out to Jim Norton, Chip Chipperson, and getting that done. Jim Norton, who Chip is no fan of, reached out, which I really appreciate. And thank you, Rich, for hanging in. You could have gone off and done any number of things, but you hung in.
It's hanging in there, Fred. I will say this, though. Joe Murray, it was fun having him on here for a few weeks. We learned about the McMurray burger, which is the most disgusting thing that he used to make.
I heard that. I actually heard that in the detox, I believe I heard that.
Yeah, it was just utterly disgusting, the stuff that he would put together, but good for a matter of fact, there was this.
I one time had two chicken patties and put a beef patty in between it and just ate it like that. I called it the McMurray burger.
So, just to keep you up to date with that, yeah, he did a good job. And Mike Lockhart even spent some time in one of the seats for a little bit. So, you know, it was good for him. And John Wallach, you know what? I was giving him crap for swinging way too much meat when he was in the first or second chair. When I was gone, he was in the first chair, second chair. But he did a decent job. Okay, watching him and Joe Murray
being able to
yell at each other. Yeah, he did fine.
I love you, man. You're awesome.
But no, we're glad you're back, man. We're damn glad that it's full Voltron for the first time in a while. This is nice.
Yes, indeed. Back. There you go. Back. And, you know, in rehab, they have a situation where, and by the way, if you're just joining us, thank you very much for everyone. If you didn't hear, I had a kind of a weird journey down to rehab. I was kicked out of one rehab my second day of detox because my roommate had COVID and I was left to my own devices and I didn't really know what to do. I was in the Midwest in the middle of nowhere.
The guy who tested positive was given a warm bed to sleep in that night, but they kicked Freddie T, an innocent bystander, to the curb with no recourse and no paperwork.
Yeah.
Amazing incompetence.
Did you have to pay for any of that?
Yeah.
Jesus. There's no... Dude, they sent you out while you were on a drug that they screamed, whatever you do, don't drink, you could die, and just left you there?
In fairness, I'm an alcoholic.
So it wasn't like there was any chance I was going to drink.
It's already a fairly Herculean. It's a very tough task for anybody, like, you know, who is in checked in for alcoholism. Imagine if you're somebody who had it way worse than you did.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're basically saying you're going to die to somebody.
Yeah. And to further your point, you know, there is a reason people detox. Now, fortunately, I was not physically addicted to alcohol. I didn't get DTs or hallucinate or anything. I mean, obviously, I didn't. There were days I didn't drink, and there was time.
Sure.
And you know, I wasn't, you know, boozing, you know, all day, every day. And, you know, I would go for it. I mean, not a long time, but I would go, you know, I could string together days from time to time. But, yeah, if you get kicked out of rehab and you're detoxing for real, you could die. I mean, that's why during COVID they kept the liquor stores open, because it's like legit. You could die. Like, if you're physically addicted enough to alcohol. So they did kick me out. They did tell me to AMSCRAE. They did not give me any paperwork, and I was left to my own devices out there. And,
It was worse than that, though. They had hopped you up on something. They said, if you have any alcohol, you will die.
Yeah, I mean, that seems a little dramatic.
No.
They said that. I'm just saying them saying that seems like the sentiment was a little dramatic. No, they said it. Oh, no, I haven't stretched anything. This is all honest to God truth. Yeah, they kicked me out the way I said it. That's the way it happened. But yeah, I was left to my own devices. I was out there on the mean streets of Bumblef Midwest. But I will tell you this, is that in rehab, one of the things that they featured at the one I actually graduated from, I got coined out. It was amazing. Mm. All the people were, you know, there's this big meeting, like I said, in the evening. It's your final meeting, and there's all the people. And when these people would leave, actually, I walked out of a meeting because there was like the kings of rehab. They were like the super cool guys, like when I first got there. And they did these self-aggrandizing things where they'd be like, you know, hey, and I know you and you, and I said, shut up. And I left, and then when I left, I came back, and I noticed that a bunch of other people had walked out. It was very triumphant for me. But they do these things, and then, you know, they go, hey, man, you know, I love you. It was so great to see you. You're one of these most fantastic guys I ever met. And when I left, everyone was like, yeah, I don't really know you. You know, screw you. Go. And so there was not a sentiment of being sad that I was going to leave. But what they did do is that they have something called the High Ropes Course. And it is, I guess it's supposed to build teamwork, and you're supposed to feel good about yourself. This is something that's designed for addicts to go out and, like, have a good experience. So this place was next to a mountain, a real mountain. And so they had an opportunity where you could hike to the top of the mountain, which I declined. I did not want to die, as I don't care for the woods either. And so they had this high ropes course, and what we were to do is that there are these wood sticks, and then they were all connected by a rope, but there was space between the sticks and the rope, and there were places to affix your feet. There were places where you were supposed to climb up it. It was probably 30 feet in the air, and you were supposed to climb up it. And then you had a partner, and they would tether you to your partner, your wrists, with something that was Velcro. Like, there was Velcro, and the idea was that you would work as a team. So what I did is I picked a out-of-shape woman to be my partner, in that I could just blame everything on her if things went awry. But my plans did not go to fruition. Now, first of all, there were dudes that were going up there blindfolded. The people that were being treated for rehab, including one man that was 41, and that was rare, someone as old as me. But they were scooting up there blindfolded. So I go up with this woman, and in fairness, we got about four pegs up, and she didn't want to do it anymore. And so I'm like, fantastic. I'm running out of steam here. This is going to be great. Like, my plan has worked out. She, you know, we're a team, and she can't do this. So, you know, she's considering whether or not she's going to go up or not. And there's the guys that have got us on belay, and they're, you know, going, hey, you can do it. And she goes, no, you know, guys, I don't think I can do it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. We can come down. And they're like, hey, Fred, why don't you just do it yourself? And I said, well, I've been standing here for, like, you know, 4 minutes. I'm running out of steam. I'm supporting myself. And so I had to concoct a story about how I didn't want to screw up our teamwork. So I was going to come down as well. But when everyone knew that I was the one man that was incapable of doing this. So my strength, I have none. I mean, it's like veal. Because what they do is that you're locked in detox, and then they take you to another house, and then you have like a yard you can play in. It's like a yard, but you know they had can jam.
Oh, okay,
and stuff like that, so you could rock
slide,
the can jam.
You know, a little swing set.
Yeah,
they had a frisbee, swing. Perhaps you could toss back and forth.
My buddy, yes, can jam, pitching you like wiffle balls.
Yeah, they had my buddy there. Yeah, it was great. They had an enema kit, and so we would be out on the. You know, you play can jam and things of that nature. You know, you win some, you lose some. It's all the same. And then when you go to the main rehab, they have a bigger lawn that you're allowed on, but there are signs that you cannot, you know, don't go so far on the lawn, or you're gonna be in a lot of trouble. And they had something called the it's another word for a maze. The labyrinth. They had something called the labyrinth.
Oh,
and this big
beware
thing.
The bog of eternal stench.
And so this thing is the labyrinth. And when you go on the website, it says like, oh, you got to walk the labyrinth. You do a walking meditation. It's so fantastic. The labyrinth. And then when you go towards the labyrinth, you are greeted with the ghost of mulch. It was just mulch that they had formed into a circle. So the great, and so they take you out there and they're like, you know, this is big, and there's like a little fire thing, and you write down something you want to get rid of, like, you know, like your grandparents or something, and you write it down and then you burn it. And I'll tell you, walking the labyrinth, walking in that mulch really was something that I walked away from feeling like a champ.
Go through the labyrinth.
This is also different because I there's a couple people who are fairly close to me who have gone to rehabs before, but when I've seen them, they look like closed down hotels, like old closed down hotels. Have you know the ones I'm talking about? It's like ones that went out of business, and they're kind of, it doesn't seem anything like this that I'm talking about. But the one question I've always been really hesitant to ask them is like, I always feel comfortable.
Do you masturbate?
What's that? Can you masturbate at those ones? I don't know.
No, I did not. I've been 30 days without.
Oh, okay. I always feel comfortable in front of them at a social gathering, like drinking. Is it okay to drink in front of someone who has been to rehab? Like if you're at a big event or something like that, like is that a party foul or like, I mean, we're going to obviously be going to social events. I'm sure, you know, once this whole thing's over.
Well, I'll just relapse at them.
No. But what I mean is that something that I've never asked this, but I'm always nervous about it. Like, is it okay to drink at a social event in front of somebody who you know has gotten sober?
Well, it would be my responsibility not to attend the social event if I knew there was going to be alcohol and that I felt that I was susceptible to backsliding. So that's my responsibility, not yours. And also, you know, it depends. Like, if you get enough sober time and you feel that you're comfortable in a situation like that, yeah, you're at a place where there's drinking. There's nothing. I mean, like, I wouldn't go to it right now. Like, if they had some event at a bar, like, now, like, when I, you
sure.
know, like, I can't do that now, I'd have to say no. But, I mean, when
but, like,
I,
in a backyard barbecue or something like that.
It's up to me not to go. It's up to me. I mean, if I think that I'm going to, if I know there's drinking and I, like, for instance, we had people at our house this weekend, but, like, you know, they couldn't drink at our house. I don't have any alcohol in the house, and I told them not to bring alcohol because that's something when they came over, we would all drink. And so if they brought alcohol, I would have been, like, miserable. It would have been
right.
Weird.
Yeah.
So, like, but I can control my environment. I can control what goes on outside of my environment, except for that I wouldn't put myself in that situation.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, well, I mean, if you're with someone who's recovering and you're drinking in front of them, they're not being a dick. I mean, what are you going to do? Of course, drink away.
Well, I've gone out to dinner before with someone, and like, you know, usually you would be like, all right, I'm going to get a drink, but at that time, I've refrained from doing it.
If they agree to go out to dinner with you at a place that sells alcohol, that's on them, not you.
Okay.
No, you can you feel free to do what you want. You live your life, baby. Can't make someone live by. You can only control yourself. And until you take care of yourself, you're of no good to anyone. You have to love yourself first. And you know what you have to do? You have to find a little bit of time to give yourself joy every day.
And find the mulch.
And walk the labyrinth.
Find the mulch in your life through the labyrinth of your soul.
There's a man who's very
meticulously gone through this and made a crazy spiral in the mulch. Now walk it. Yeah. And they had a big volleyball game that all the cool dudes played in, and they took it really seriously. And I said, I'm not playing your stupid volleyball game. Get out of here. There's extra yoga.
You didn't go out there and just say, hey, man, let's get shirtless? You didn't?
They asked everyone, including overweight women, but they never asked me because I think I think the dad bod spoke of, in the age, spoke of don't even let them in. I mean, I did, Rich, in fairness, I did grease up and wear jeans one day and just kind of sat there eagerly waiting for them to invite me. But they did not. I mean, I even put on Oakleys and had a devil may care attitude. And then the next day I grew a mustache just so they would think that I was like some ancillary guy that could get killed off easily.
Well, if you grew a mustache, then your shirt would have stayed on. You'd be the only one who had their shirt on.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. Actually, someone took off their shirt apparently when they were playing volleyball, and they were told that they got in trouble. They were told that they had to put their shirt on. It was too sexy.
No. Oh,
that is true.
I can see that.
Yeah. And there was one prick named Rem who worked there. The only guy I had a problem with. Rem, if you're listening, you're a loser. You stupid loser.
Jesus.
I hope you rot handing out medicine at 8 o'clock at night, you piece of garbage. And whoever told you you could public speak should be put in rehab again. Bubba, go ahead.
Frank, congratulations on coming back, man.
Thank you.
To hear you back.
Thank
but hey, listen, now that you're sober, do you think Brandon from Incubus will give you a second chance?
I have to make amends in that when I do work the fourth step, or the fourth step is my only. When I do work, I forget the step. When I do work the step, that is when I have to make amends. I mean, I will have to look up Brandon from Incubus. And tell him that if you don't know, I was very intoxicated when I interviewed Brandon from Incubus. And it was all he could do in that poetic mind of his to sit there and put up with me. One of the most offensive things I heard in a meeting was someone said it. They said, if you could have dinner with anyone, who would you have dinner with? And someone said, Jim Morrison, because he was such a talented poet and he left us too soon. And to that I said, sir, I will not be friends with you. Jim Morrison was just an idiot, and a bunch of idiots liked him. Stupid Doors. I mean, they were better with Ian Ashbery, to be honest with you.
They were really good with Ian Ashbery.
Well, you know what? You get Ray Manzarek behind the keys, and you can't lose.
It's magic.
We don't need a bass player. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, Coolio. He hated me, but even though this is Coolio, just ripped the song off. 98.5, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. And Rich, one thing that I never really heard about, and I still really don't know the reason, but Tuukka Rask, when he left the Boston Bruins in the bubble, obviously they could have used a starting goaltender in that they had to play Halak back-to-back games. And Halak obviously didn't play poorly outside of that game, but nonetheless, it would have been nice to have your starting Vezina caliber goalie playing, but Don Sweeney was talking in this exit interview about Tuukka Rask, and here's what he had to say.
I had zero reservations. You know, if you look at Tuukka's actual play, I do believe he's a Vezina finalist this year. For me, that pretty much dictates everything. Obviously, his own personal life, and we all have matters that at times we have to deal with. And he's been given the opportunity in a couple of these instances to make sure that he feels good on and off the ice. And I think any player, any manager, or any person involved in sport or in life would respect and has to respect that people have to tend to their own personal business. And how he chooses to do that is certainly his own decision and his alone. We provide resources for all of our players to work through any issues that they may or may not have on and off the ice, and then provide support accordingly. And we're not going to deviate from that. You know? We have to respect his privacy and allow him the latitude to take care of it. And ultimately, it hasn't affected his play on the ice. If you have a good goal player, he'll continue to do so.
He's got defensive voice. Come on, Don. Listen, we know who you are. You don't need to go into the high tones with us. But he, you know what? Without Tuukka Rask next year, they're screwed. They're not winning anything. So all this talk about how, you know, people thinking of, first of all, he's got a no trade clause for like a ton of teams. You know, saying, get rid of the guy. We don't need him here. You need him. If you want to make another run with this team, you absolutely need Tuukka Rask. And another thing, if you don't have Tuukka Rask, like if for some reason Tuukka Rask says, I just don't want to play anymore, which I don't think is going to happen. But if he did, I also don't think that Chara will come back. I think that Tuukka Rask's decision affects Chara because Chara would know that I don't want to come back and play this next year if I know that there's no shot for us being able to do anything. Because Halak's not going to get it done. We already learned that. And I know that there's some free agents out there as well. I don't know if they're going to be able to, if you're going to be able to get any of these guys.
Braden Holtby's been awful the last 3 years, and Matt Murray was lousy this year, and Flutish and Zao, who we've had on the show many times, has a report this morning that says Rask is not retiring. He's going to play next season. And what you just heard from Don Sweeney is the same thing we thought all along. Tuukka Rask going to be this team's starting goaltender next year.
Well, first of all, if Chara didn't come back, that would be a shame. I mean, who cares if Chara comes back?
He's an unrestricted free agent, but he said during his exit interview that...
I know he wants to play, but I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's I think his leadership means a lot.
If you have him playing third-line D minutes, I don't think that's nearly as damaging.
It's fine. If he
was getting paid peanuts. He was basically getting paid
$2 million
bonuses.
But it's no great loss if you lose Chara, and in terms of leadership, who needs him? I mean, they have plenty of leadership on this team. They have plenty of veterans on this team. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to have a problem with Bergeron being captain of the team. I think that he's quite able to lead this team. So Chara, if he comes back or not, is of no interest to me. I don't care. And I don't know Tuukka Rask's situation. All I know, and you guys know more than me. I haven't even asked you guys off the air what the situation is, but... All I know is that being where I was and being away from the Boston media is that it just came off bad because obviously, you guys have probably been over this a million times, but, you know, when he said he didn't like it and that there's no crowd and that it sucked and then he leaves after that, for people who don't know, like me, what the situation was, and even listening to Don Sweeney, you know, when he was talking about, you know, personal issues and it didn't sound, he wasn't saying that there was like an emergency or anything, which there might have very well could have been. So I don't know what, you know, Tuukka Rask has been up to. I know it means nothing. I just know that my kids have seen him around, and that's fine. I mean, I know he's been around. So, you know, if you guys know that it was something very serious, then that's one thing. But if it was something else, I don't know if you can keep him on the team regardless. I think it might be because you don't know what's going to happen. And if he decided to flake on a situation that you thought that it would have been good for him to stay, I don't know if you can bring him back.
But then what do you do?
You piece together something.
You have Halak.
And you just pay his contract or what?
I mean, you're not going to be able to trade him for anything, but someone would certainly take him.
Well, if you have a team that made a run this year that if you get a Vezina Trophy caliber goaltender would put you over the top, then yeah, you make the trade. Because if you make the trade and it doesn't work out, it's only for 1 year.
But yeah, I don't understand. Like, even if you had a shaky Tuukka Rask as far as commitment was concerned, isn't that better than a fully invested Halak?
Over the long haul, it is.
Yeah, but it depends on how you value him at this point. If you think that he's a head case that could flake out on you and the team isn't, you know, the team has negative feelings towards him, you might just decide to cut bait. And also, if you free up that salary, it gives you some more space under the cap.
That's the other thing, Fred, is that you may not have heard it, but they unanimously, like all of the teammates, came to Tuukka Rask's defense, like all of them, to the point where, was it Chris Wagner? I forgot who was in the interview,
yes,
like actually
Wagner.
Said it insulted
yes.
with people. Yeah,
it
I mean, he was like really came to his defense. Like, and all of them seemed to insinuate that, you know, the public has no idea what's really going on, which lends to the stuff that we've all been hearing, what he's been dealing with. So I don't think that it's
not everyone's as brave as me to come out and address your problems head on.
That's a good point.
That's right.
Rassi, not every, that?
Nope. Not everyone is as brave as me to come right out and say what's going on. You know? I heard that there was some talk of him saying craziness and it was referred to me as saying craziness on the air, and I took that. I said, that's fine. I said, you guys say what you want. But, I mean, not everyone is as brave as I to come out and to announce to the world what's going on. But, you know, there are heroes, and then, you know, what are you going to do?
But if you guys say it was something and you're hearing that it was very serious, then,
yeah.
You know, I don't begrudge the man for
leaving. It really seemed from Don Sweeney on down, everyone has Rask's back on this and would welcome him back in net at the beginning of next season.
Well, yeah.
That's what it seems like.
I mean, that's just everything is contingent upon that. Now, I don't know if I want to hand the guy a massive contract, given his age and everything.
That's a different story. You got to figure Rask, if he indeed wants to play beyond next season, I mean, he's got one more contract left in him. He's going to be 33. He's got one more big contract left in him. And he's going to get paid. If he decides he wants to play, he's going to get paid a ton. Because he's won a Vezina. He's been a finalist two other times. I mean, there aren't a lot of goaltenders like him sitting out there. So that's the thing. Can you afford him?
But speaking on Wagner, I mean, I don't know how you could get offended with someone speculating about Tuukka Rask in that no one has any information about Tuukka Rask. And if you look at it logically from what you've heard, I mean, the guy was complaining about there not being any fans. So regardless, I mean, there's probably...
Well, Tuukka said he had a family emergency.
I understand
that.
And
I think that's why Wagner was pissed. It was like, if he says this is what's going on and people are speculating otherwise, then that's uncalled for. I think that's what Wagner's
point
was.
Well, I mean, still, no one has any information. And listen, I'm not...
Well, he said it was a family emergency.
But, I mean, what is that? I don't know what that means. So I don't think it's ridiculous to speculate on Tuukka Rask's absence. I mean, I read people saying that he would never be back on the team and things like that. But again, you can't make any concrete assumptions unless you know what's going on. But no one knows what's going on except for you guys, which, you know, me being in a bubble, I didn't hear anything about it. And, you know, when I came back, I asked people and they didn't know. So I did ask the insiders or anything. But, you know, that whole Tuukka Rask thing was very odd. Being, you know, someone who wasn't plugged in to, you know, analysts and things of that nature, it was odd. But, you know, I mean, they're not going to be able to. It's not like they're going to recoup a ton for Tuukka Rask, even if they trade him. If he wants to play, chances are he'll be on the Bruins. So Tuukka Rask next year. But then, you know, this is a guy who's missed time before. And if I believe what I've been told about why he missed time before, you know, he's missed time for various reasons, if what I hear is true. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old Stack-a-Rooney?
Well, Don Sweeney also spoke about the whole Tory Krug situation, and there are two new reboots coming out, television reboots, classics from the 80s and early 90s.
Thank
I'll get
God.
Your opinion as to whether they should be made.
Right, because no one has any new ideas. It's time to recycle. It's worked out so well. The new Knight Rider was a real tour de force. That was great.
Hasselhoff showed up at the end. I thought that made that episode.
I wonder how they got him. I mean, I know Hasselhoff's worth a lot of money, but it seems like he'd take a role.
Yeah.
You know, if you offered it to him. All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Johnny, who brings us the Stack?
Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale, no down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
All right. Well, if
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just about to say, if you had any delusions that Torrey Krug was going to be a member of the Boston Bruins next season, you could pretty much kiss that goodbye, because Don Sweeney does not seem to be having it this morning when being asked about Torrey Krug. You know how Torrey made those comments last week talking about how, you know, this is his time to cash in. He doesn't want any kind of one-year deal. He believes he's sacrificed enough. Well, when Don Sweeney was asked about any kind of optimism on returning, he said, well, we haven't found a landing spot here for him yet. He's entitled to say whatever the hell he wants to stay. So there you go.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, Krug has no reason to stay. Krug's gone. And it's a shame. I really like Krug. But, yeah, he's got to make his money.
Yeah.
He's under no obligation. This is his contract. I mean, this is his one contract. So
this is the one. This is the one. So what are they thinking for him? $7 million a year? Is
yeah, like they, like 7 years and $49 to $56 million, something like that. Yeah.
And I don't think you want him as a Bruins fan at that money. I mean, Don Sweeney's done an excellent job retaining players who are already here for a decent price. If you want to give him credit for anything, that's something he's done well. You would hope he would have been able to work that magic with Torrey Krug, but you're right. If you're Torrey Krug, why would you do that?
Flat cap, and you can't replace what Krug does for this team, but the one position of depth in the organization that the Bruins have is on defense.
Right. In fact, they could, again, start moving people if they wanted to and, you know, start moving some of that depth, but we'll see what they do. But, yeah, Torrey Krug deserves it. You know, go make your money. Have fun, young man.
Well, odds makers have come out, and they have decided who the NFL starting quarterback most likely to be benched first is going to be.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is second on the list. He is second.
Trubisky?
Trubisky is third on the list. He is third.
Oh, Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins. And this is all on the heels of this news about Alex Smith and how he apparently is healthy now. I don't know if you watched any of that thing that they did on ESPN about his recovery. I watched very little of it because it was tough to watch. It was just pain. The amount of hell that guy went through to get back to playing. I mean, if there's any team that needs a feel-good story right now, it's the Washington football team or whatever the hell they're going by now. And putting Alex Smith out in the field would be that. So
who knows if Snyder will allow them, because, you know, Haskins went to high school with his kid. So, I mean, that's why Haskins is on that team. That was a terrible pick where they got him. So who knows if he's not going to start butting in and saying that they need to play him. He seems to make a lot of decisions in that organization that he shouldn't be making. Makes Jerry Jones look like a hands-off owner, so, you know.
They are really going to go into the season as the Washington football team.
Well, is it the football team? It's something else, right?
No, it's called the Washington football team.
Oh, I thought it was like another cool word for team.
Club.
I thought football it was football club.
Oh, is it club?
Is it football club?
Okay.
I think it's football club.
Well, you might be right. And to be quite honest, commit to it. You know, if that was their name, I would actually think that was kind of clever and funny, and I would say, all right, I'm all for this. Like, make all the merchandise the Washington football team. I think that that's fairly inspired. And you know the whole reason they did that, right, Fred, was because somebody stole all of the trademarks for, like, the top 10 most speculated names that it was going to be. Like, Vegas had this big board, and, oh, it's going to be the Generals or something like this.
Red Tails was another one.
Red Tails, I think. And somebody went and copyrighted all of them before anyone from the Washington football team organization could.
I stole the Red Tails because that's what we do in the showers.
Give them a little red towel snapping.
Yeah. Look at you, you silly goose.
Speaking of betting, Cam Newton is a popular person in Vegas, and there have been season props regarding him. The total interceptions that they have him at is over under 13.5. Total passing yards, they think that he's going to be right around 3,500 yards. They got it at 35, 25.5. Total rushing touchdowns, this seems low to me. They have him at 3.5. Rushing touchdowns for Cam Newton at 3.5? I'd bang the over on that one.
I don't know. I mean, again, he's coming off that Lisfranc surgery.
Yeah, I'm not using him in goal line unless I have to. And then, I mean, he's not going to scamper.
You're
going to
avoid
punishment.
You have all of those running backs.
I just think it's going to be instinct with him. I think it's going to be one of those deals where maybe the play is not written up that way. And then he's like, this is what I do.
And
he's
you know
just
what?
To do it.
That's what got him into trouble in the first place, taking all that extra punishment he didn't have.
I don't know if you can just change a guy and just take that out of his DNA, because that's who he is.
Well, you know, when you have 18 dispensable running backs. You might as well just get them all hurt.
Total rushing yards at 395 and a half.
By the way, they're speculating that there's going to be all kinds of ankle and knee injuries because of the lack of a preseason. So, I mean, I'd really ride him not to be taking any chances.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you saw what happened with Von Miller. I mean, Von Miller on the last snap of practice, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
He's out for the season now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was indoors, too. Apparently, there's a blizzard in Denver at this moment. Or something like some terrible weather. They had to practice inside yesterday, and they weren't even in, you know, they were in shells and didn't even have the pads on, and Miller wrecked his ankle.
Apparently, it was 101 the other day, too, in Denver, so keep denying the climate crisis.
That's right. We went from 101 to that.
I give that one to my father, who's a denier, so there you go.
Well, 16 more games for the Red Sox, and the season will mercifully end. Andrew Benintendi no longer going to be playing for the rest of the season. And one thing that you can say is that the postseason being right around the corner, which the Red Sox are not going to be part of, most likely, unless a miracle happens. I don't even know if mathematically they can now. I don't know. Are they eliminated yet? I don't think so. But there is a plan for a playoff bubble that is finally getting materialized. Here is Ken Rosenthal.
Chris, they're negotiating it right now, MLB and the Players Union, but it seems that from everything I've gathered, there are going to be two different bubbles. One will be in California, and that is where the American League playoffs will take place in two of the ballparks in Southern California, two of the three, Anaheim, San Diego, Dodger Stadium. And then the other bubble will be in Texas, where you have the two ballparks in Texas and Houston. That'll be the National League site. And the World Series ultimately will be played at the Rangers' new ballpark in Arlington. The one thing that remains undecided is where the first round, that best of three wildcard round, is going to be held. Will it be held in home parks, or will the baseball move right into the bubble and start it that way?
Well, and then Shy and High Five started playing in the background. And John started dancing in his player
like
shirt.
The way.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
They got a live in studio band. So, I mean, they've got it. Because baseball screwed up everything. They'll even screw up a bubble. I am making that call. Something is going to happen because everything Major League Baseball touches just turns to crap. Well,
in fairness, the Cardinals have all this time to play 104 games. So hopefully they can get that out of the way.
All those 7-inning games.
Yeah, well, 75. Well, that's it. That's the deal. I've asked someone about Tuukka Rask, and they said that they haven't talked about anything like that. They just hung out.
Okay.
You know, the guy's been with them, but, you know, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Letting loose, you know, not talking shop.
Well, there are, it is Reboot Palooza. Will Smith has announced a dramatic reimagining of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Now, there was a reunion show. The good thing about that is that The Fresh Prince was a hot, steaming pile of garbage before that in its original incarnation. So I'm glad that they're remaking something that's vomit-inducing. And this from someone who watches Family Matters, if I have some time in the 5 o'clock hour. I mean, The Fresh Prince is really a sack of crap show. And by the way, they did a, for as cool as it was supposed to be, they did a very special episode several times. Carlton's got a gun, drunk driving, he's in the cave, and he sees ghosts.
Ben Vereen, Will Smith's dad, shows up, right?
And that, I don't know, that's that Webster. Was Webster.
Oh, no, wait, who is
you're
who
so
is,
racist.
Well, hold on, who is Will Smith's dad?
Not Ben Vereen.
Did he tap dance?
Or he left. I got to check this out.
It wasn't right. Ben Vereen. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Ben Vereen was Webster. Now, maybe it was both. I don't know. I never watched The Fresh Prince. But according to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a dramatic reimagining. And the Peacock, which is that NBC streaming deal, has already bought two seasons slated to begin in 2021.
That was my name in the showers at the rehab.
Ah, the old Peacock. That's right.
Was Ben Vereen. I was right.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He was the dad? He was like the dad that left in two shows?
That's right. He was. He was.
That's, that's typecasting of Ben Vereen.
Wow. We just got shazowied by John Wallach.
Hell now, yeah, you did.
Was he a dad that left on Zubily Zoo as well?
I don't.
Was he like, you know, like a furry tiger that just said, I hate my cubs, and then only showed up to dance and then leave again to their kids' disappointment? Also, the Golden Girls is returning, except the twist is it is an all-black cast. It is going to be Regina King, Alfre Woodard, and two other people who I'm not familiar with their work. Not quite sure.
Wow, it's going to be so different. I mean, what the hell's the point of that?
Like, why call it the Golden Girls? Like, right?
I don't just know. Why don't they just have a show with black women hanging out? Like, what is like? It's going to be a polar opposite of what it was. There's going to be, instead of cheesecake, they're going to eat, you know, pumpkin pie. I don't know. Like, what the hell's the difference? Like, they're not going out in the lanai. They're going out in a patio. Oh, okay. Well, this is way different. As long as they let someone slut it up like Blanche. Because you know I have touched myself to an episode of The Golden Girls where she's seduced a college boy.
You have told us that. Yes, you have.
Mm-hmm. John looks at me with shock because I forgot attention that during the show.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. So there you go. Now everyone's coming in and saying, yes, Ben Vereen was Will Smith's dad, too.
There you go.
All I know is that the father on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was the voice of Shredder from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. That's all I know. Yeah,
he left us too soon as well. He's dead as a doornail.
Yeah. Uncle Phil.
Very
right.
Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there you go. It's Relaunch Heaven, and I know that new Saved by the Bell show is going to be on as well. I don't know what. There's too many streaming services, and I can't keep track of any of them. But that is, I've seen the trailer for that. I don't know, Fred, if you've been made aware of it as well.
I have, and it's of no interest to me.
Ever since really? You're not going to watch it?
No. I mean, the whole point of Saved by the Bell is it's ridiculous and funny to watch the ones that happened. I mean, anytime these shows give like a wink at how stupid they are, it's not funny anymore.
But there were so many unanswered questions, Fred.
Not really. I mean, how they never got in trouble for constantly going in the girls' locker room under disguise was always something I was interested in. But other than that, I have no interest in that. I will watch Saved by the Bell with my daughter, and we'll have fun. Now the Jersey Shore, because the stupid coronavirus isn't coming back until next year. Vinny, why'd you write that about Angelina on your Twitter? All right. Nonetheless, thank you, everyone. Tomorrow will not be so much talk about myself, but I again want to thank everyone for the kind words. And when I was getting kicked out of the original rehab and detox, and then going through all the quarantining and uncertainty, your words meant a great deal to me. It's not easy to, admit that something was going on and then to go get treatment for it. And the you were all very, very wonderful. I want to thank the audience again. And thanks to everyone here and all of the nice things that one would say in these situations. That'll do it for us. The very cynical Hardy in the Zolak and Bertrand show is coming up. Very cynical Hardy. Won't let me have my moment. Begrudges me my moment. He said, I got sober and no one threw a parade for me. And then he says, I'm going to play Three Doors Down as a punishment. That'll do it for us. A big time show on the way tomorrow. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.